It's one of the most lethal routes in the refugee crisis, Libya to Italy, across the Mediterranean. In 2016 alone, an estimated 4,500 migrants died making that trip. And last week, another migrant boat on that route capsized, killing all but just a few of the estimated 90 people aboard. What's unusual about this latest incident, though, is that the majority of victims were Pakistani. It turns out it's an indication of a broader trend. Last year, Pakistani migrants made up the 13th largest group trying to reach Europe across the Mediterranean, but this year, they're the third largest group. Here to explain the latest from this extremely dangerous migration route and a waning U.S. role on international migration issues is Kathleen Newland. She's senior fellow and co-founder of the Migration Policy Institute. Kathleen, thanks for being with us.
Hello, thanks.
Talk about this route between Libya and southern Europe. We've talked about it before on the program. What are conditions like now?
Well, January is always the most dangerous month for people trying to cross. The weather conditions are bad. There are storms. It's obviously colder than at other times of the year. So we tend to see fewer numbers trying to make the crossing in January. But the composition changes from year to year, depending on where the pressures are, depending on which routes are being favored by smugglers, and where people are coming from and under what conditions. So the rise in Pakistanis is unusual. We don't really know exactly what's behind it. There are at least three possibilities that I can think of. One is that smugglers are changing their routes as the Turkey to Greece route has been, if not shut down, at least constrained. Or these could be Pakistanis who'd been denied asylum in Greece and returned to Turkey under an agreement between the EU and Turkey and then tried to make their way from Turkey to Europe via Libya. Or they could be Pakistanis who'd been working in Libya under what used to be sort of normal circumstances and have decided that Libya is just getting too dangerous and uncertain for them to continue there and tried to get to Europe. We don't really know what their motivation was.
But do any of those factors give an indication of why Pakistanis are being driven from their own country in the first place?
Well, that's been true for quite some time. The violence and poverty in Pakistan is generic. The war in Afghanistan has ticked up. That may be placing new pressures on some people, but it seems that most of the Pakistani migrants are actually coming from the somewhat more prosperous parts of the country, from Punjab, from Sialkot, which has a lot of migrants already established. So these sort of network effects have an important impact, and also, you know, you see people coming from the slightly more prosperous parts of the country because they're the ones who can afford the journey.
What route are these Pakistani migrants taking from Pakistan that lands them in Libya? How do they get from Central Asia, South Asia, all the way to Africa?
Well, normally, the most normal route would be to cross into Iran and then make their way from Iran across Turkey, perhaps, and North Africa into Libya. Some of the more prosperous ones may actually, you know, fly to a place like Egypt and then cross North Africa. But often people who are traveling this route don't even know what their route is going to be. If they place themselves in the hands of smugglers, the smugglers are going to find the path of least resistance. And at this point, the path of least resistance in terms of law enforcement seems to be the extremely dangerous route from Libya to Italy. Although that route, there's a crackdown on that route too since last August when the EU signed a deal with Libya, with one of the governments in Libya, in which they would train the Libyan Coast Guard to intercept boats and return migrants to Libya, where they face horrific conditions in government detention centers or in sort of holding centers that are run by the smugglers.
Meanwhile, there are changes at the United Nations. President Trump has appointed someone who's proven to be controversial to head up the UN International Organization for Migration, Ken Isaacs, has apparently made statements saying Islam is an inherently violent religion, that Christians should get preferential treatment as they resettle from violent places around the world. Who is Ken Isaacs, and is the world migration community as concerned about him as some of his critics seem to be?
I think there is a lot of concern about this nomination because the Director General of the IOM traditionally has been an American. That pattern may be broken this year with this nomination. Ken Isaacs is the vice president of a group called Samaritan's Purse, which is an evangelical humanitarian organization, does good work among refugees and other people in need, but it is an evangelical Christian organization, and Isaacs is on the record through his own Twitter account as being extremely critical of Islam and saying, as you mentioned, that Christians might need to get preference. Now, that's contrary to every principle of humanitarianism and international humanitarian law, which forbids discrimination on the basis of race or religion or ethnicity or nationality. Another point I would make about the nomination of Ken Isaacs to be head of the IOM, International Organization for Migration, is that IOM is much more than about humanitarian action. It's about helping countries develop and implement migration policies, which is in the interest of the receiving countries as well as is in the interest of countries of origin to get away from some of the chaos of the current practice and put a set of sort of rules around international migration, and particularly get some expectations working about how countries will interact around these issues in a way that encourages cooperation rather than confrontation.
Kathleen Newland is a senior fellow and co-founder at the Migration Policy Institute. Kathleen, thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.